Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast, where each episode I talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and I get to talk to some cool people who are doing some really cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I am your host, Shayna Black, the curator and creator of Black Girl in the CLE, and today my guest is local Karamu actor and longtime friend of Black Girl, Devon Settles Jr. Today's topic is getting around on the RTA, or as I like to call it, being carless in Cleveland. We'll hear from Devon and what he has to say about the RTA right after this brief message. All right, so today we are here with Devon Settles, and Devon is a personal favorite of mine. We're going to talk about being carless in Cleveland, and that's what this whole episode is about, being on the bus, or back in the day we used to call it the Rita, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Back before we knew what Rita was, as in taxes, but mm-hmm. RTA was the Rita growing up. So I've known Devon for, I'm going to say it forever.
Mm-hmm. Went to high school. We'll just say forever.
Just forever. No years on that. We went to high school together, and he's one of those people that every time I see him, I smile. You don't know that.
Oh, my God.
I'm so happy to see you. And as you ride the trains and buses, and I ride the trains and buses, it's always, for me, a great point. Like, oh, look, Devon's here. We gonna get on this bus together. I don't care if we're going multiple stops. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I saw you at Shaker Square, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that was like, mm-hmm. all right. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's like giving me my RTA car. Like, I'm official because mm-hmm. I'm on the train with you. So, we just hacking it up, and we are just talking about RTA, the grind, Cleveland, and how kind of we got here. So, mm-hmm. like, for me, I ended up on RTA for the love of the business. Mm-hmm. So, trying to cut costs, live as small as possible, take care of the family, but not deal with car note and all those kind of things. I ended up on RTA, mm-hmm. and that's a whole other story that I've written on a blog that mm-hmm. you can talk about. You can check it out on our website. How long have you been carless in Cleveland?
Forever.
Okay.
Forever.
Forever, ever?
Forever, ever. Yes, yes. But for me, how I ended up on the bus, usually it stemmed from driving uh-huh. and then my car blowing up or some issues with my car, so that you would end up on the bus. Then my car would be okay again. Then something would happen with my car again, that I'd be back. So it's like been this back and forth thing
okay.
with my car. Just and it was mostly me like not taking care of my car.
Understand.
You know, not keeping it up.
Right.
And then eventually got to the point where I ended up moving to New York.
Okay.
And that's what people do. They ride the subway. That's what yeah. they do. That's the normal. So for me, when I came back to Cleveland, it just kind of just was, it was organic for me. So it got to a point where I no longer wanted to drive
okay.
ever again.
Yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So you no longer want to drive?
No. Unless I'm like in LA or in a city where like there's no public transportation, I just love riding the train and the bus.
Okay.
I love it. That sounds crazy, but I just love it.
So mm-hmm. let me tell you this story. When you said like there's no public transportation, mm-hmm. a few months ago, I was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I was in the outskirts of Detroit, kind of like the suburbs that we would think of, like the Lakewoods or Shaker okay. Heights is here.
Okay.
I was in like Southfield. So not too far from Detroit, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to pay Detroit parking because mm-hmm. Detroit parking is, like we think Cleveland parking is bad, mm-hmm. Detroit parking is bad.
Oh, wow.
But you're talking about like $30 a day almost
okay.
where I was going. So not being too far, I go down to the desk of the hotel I was staying at, and I'm like, hey, you guys got like a bus out here? Mm-hmm. Or is like Uber Lyft the only way to get in?
Okay.
And the guy, he like schooled me, and it was so deep, like to be 4 a.m, 5 a.m, but he was like, no, ma'am. He says, we don't. He says, if you want to not have to drive into the city, you're going to have to get an Uber. And I'm like, well, that's going to be like $20 too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you forget where you are. He said, this is Detroit. We are built. We're the auto, you know, the hub of the auto, the big three.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to buy a car.
That makes sense.
If you live in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know, to sustain the economy,
mm-hmm.
you should buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a driving city.
Wow.
He said, so with that, we don't have public transportation. They have it around like the downtown. So like
yeah.
kind of like the little trolleys that we have down here, the mm-hmm. circulars.
Yeah.
But if you want to get outside of that center of Detroit,
you have to drive.
You have to drive.
Mm-hmm. OK.
He said, because we want you to buy autos. Mm-hmm. We want you to buy cars. Mm-hmm. And most of these people are working for Ford or Chevy or, you know, GM or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get the discounts because your family's probably attached to it. Mm-hmm. So everybody just drives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah. Yeah. Oh. First, I was mad, though. I was like, I see what you're doing, Detroit, but
yeah.
I wanted to just hop on like a little transit train and mm-hmm. shoot right into the city. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of deep for me.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about that and what you were saying, I know Cleveland's transit gets a lot of flack.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think that people are just impatient by nature. I think that when you live in a city like New York where the subway breaks down all the time, I think that we really have it good.
Okay.
I think that for me, the buses are consistent. The buses that I ride are consistent. The train for me is always consistent. And I also have, like, listen up, podcasts. I listen to music. So I always have something to kind of bide my time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of one of those things where when you have something like that, it really makes it a lot easier for
right.
the wait.
Right. I think that was the one thing I do mm-hmm. like about the buses or trains is mm-hmm. that is a perfect time for me to catch up on reading or listening to a book
mm-hmm.
or I do my podcast mm-hmm. some days, you know, if you do like your morning meditations
mm-hmm.
you know, like sit for 15 minutes. Well, mm-hmm. I'm getting up and getting dressed, like sitting for 15 minutes I'm trying to be on the shower, get my hair done.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I'm on the train
mm-hmm.
like I'm sitting for 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's real easy to
yeah.
to zone out
mm-hmm.
and everybody has on their headphones
mm-hmm.
so I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to get your mind right.
It is. Yeah,
where you're heading.
Yeah. And I just noticed, like, just with traffic in the morning, just there's this angst that people have, just people just in the morning, just getting to work,
mm-hmm.
Just that angst. It's this angst that people have. I just noticed that when you're on the train or the bus, you don't really have that angst. You're much more relaxed. You don't have to worry about all of that. And just that to me is a blessing. And then, like, the whole thing you talked about, like with parking, I don't understand the whole concept of paying for parking.
Especially for my job.
Yeah, yeah. That's just crazy to me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you hired me, you paying me, and then basically my money has to go to come into this job.
Yeah.
And true, for me, most of my jobs that I've had when I did drive mm-hmm. were in the suburbs. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm driving to Soman, you park in the company parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and you walk in.
Yeah, yeah.
But to have to pay the monthly rate on parking,
crazy.
Like...
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy to
mm-hmm.
me. Like,
mm-hmm. or the events that happen, like the games or the concerts, and where they're paying $50 for parking. I don't understand that. And just there's a stress factor I notice that people have, you know, when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think for me, when I initially stopped driving, there was a freeing thought that
mm-hmm.
like I wasn't stuck in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember one day I was riding to a job. Like West 130th and Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my first time taking the bus to the West Side ever in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grew up in Cleveland, but, you know, I was a Blue Line downtowner and only went a few places.
Yeah.
And so I caught the bus, and I think it was a 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I was riding all the way out Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part where you go over the highway,
okay.
and you could see all the traffic backing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, like, I would have been stuck right in that traffic,
mm-hmm.
probably angry,
mm-hmm.
running late.
Mm-hmm.
But yet... everybody's going to get off, especially on the West Side. Most of those exits put you at Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
There's no traffic on Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I did start driving again, I'm like, I'm going to just take Lorraine in the morning because everybody's on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just how the city's designed.
Mm-hmm.
But I got off my bus. I was not stressed at all because I didn't go through all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know,
mm-hmm.
you cut me off. Where's your bleed? You know, all
yeah,
that
yeah.
was gone.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed, I think, about... That's when I started getting the light went off for
mm-hmm.
me with taking the bus.
And the other thing I noticed, I don't know how it is now. I remember, like, back in the day, if you rode the bus, that was a negative thing.
Yeah.
That was a thing. And so that's just something that I've never really understood because there are people now that cannot afford a car at
right.
all.
Right.
They cannot afford a car.
Right.
But they want that car.
Right.
To say that I have, because I drive, say
right.
I drive.
And a nice car at that.
And a nice car. And can't afford a car, no,
nope.
can't, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, for me, I don't really understand the concept of that.
Right.
Of needing to have that because it makes me look good or makes me, I don't know, it's the status.
The status, right.
Yeah.
And I think that was, for me, was
mm-hmm.
it was very humbling
mm-hmm.
because the thought was... like, I was that person, like,
mm-hmm.
I have a 2017 blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
or a 2000
mm-hmm.
this, and now my next car is going to be this Lexus or
mm-hmm.
Beamer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I look at my neighbors, mm-hmm. and my neighbor has this old Ford Taurus, mm-hmm. and she loves, I mean, I would say she loves that car. I mean, she comes in and out the driveway, mm-hmm. she's blasting her tunes, mm-hmm. and I'm like, mm-hmm. it's not about the car. So being on the bus made me really start unpacking yes. those things that I held, mm-hmm. But also realizing that, is it worth it? Now, I will say, though, when you think about how much the monthly pass costs, I mean, it's almost a car note if, yeah. if you're not single.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, for me and my kids to take the bus, mm-hmm. if we were going to do it a month pass each, I mean, we're almost looking at
$200. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not paying gas. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying maintenance. Mm-hmm. So, it is, when I realized that, it was kind of like, well, then maybe I should just get a car. If I'm paying $200 for RTA, mm-hmm. I might as well get a car. Mm-hmm. But, again, like, I don't worry about gas prices.
Yeah. So easy. So easy. And I'm and what gas, as far as gas, I couldn't even tell you what gas is supposed to be. Or what's good, you know what I'm saying? What the prices are. I couldn't even tell you that. I didn't think about that.
I remember that same job on the west side, mm-hmm. one of the bus stops was at the gas station.
Okay.
And so I'm walking over there, I'm waiting for the bus, and people are pulling in, pulling out, and it was just kind of like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I used to do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the gas thing, and I'm like the price, and I'm like, that's not even been a concern. Like, you know, I used to drive around like, oh, well, over here it's $2.25, but mm-hmm. if I go across town, I can get gas for, mm-hmm. like, looking for that was just such no longer a thought.
Mm-hmm. And I can get anywhere that I need to go. Everywhere that I need to go in Cleveland, I can get there on the train and the bus. I'm trying to tell you, I don't have an issue getting anywhere.
Do you ever take the Lyft and Uber?
No, I've never taken a Lyft. I've never taken an Uber before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just something, and I think it's a cool concept, I really, really do, but it's not something that I really, I don't know. I have this thing about waiting, and I know, you know, with the bus you have to wait, but like for some reason I'm just blessed where I've never had to wait for a long, long, long period of time. Like I said, I got my podcast, I got right. my music, but I don't know. I've never really had a need to Uber or to do a Lyft.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started the rule with... Mm-hmm. I can only lift one ride.
Okay.
And it was summertime. Okay. So, like, I can walk everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I will only lift one way. And mm-hmm. so, like, this morning, because I was late and I was taking it slow, like, I lifted down. It's kind of like in the board game, mm-hmm. advanced 10 spaces or free space. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I know it's going to take me almost an hour to get down here. Mm-hmm. But, and I didn't have the hour. So then, okay, lift. I'll just shoot me right here. Mm-hmm. I'm good. But I didn't get my coffee this morning mm-hmm. because I've built that into my RTA journey. But you said, like, you've never waited. What do you think is the best route for you? Like, what's a bus that runs or train that runs, and you're like,
well, the Blue Line, any of the trains, they run on time. They leave when they say they are. The 14,
okay,
is consistent. I ride the 22. What else do I ride?
I like the 22.
Yeah, I like the 22. Yeah, it's a nice ride. The 26, the 3, the 1.
How you feel about the 5?
I like the 5. Now, the thing about the 5 is weird.
I hate the 5. Okay. I wrote a piece called That Slow Ass 5.
Yeah. And the thing about the 5 is just, it's just weird because of where everything is. And just, they could be a little bit more consistent. That's the only...
My thing with the 5 mm-hmm. is that it only runs like once an hour.
That's the only thing.
And so... The one concern with me in the 5 is even if I catch the 5 and I get to where I'm going, mm-hmm. I'm never able to time it to come back. Because mm-hmm. normally that's shopping.
Yes.
So you're going up, and the 5 runs up Chagrin mm-hmm. to like Eaton and to Lander Circle and all that stuff. Yeah. So a lot of it is shopping. Mm-hmm. And through Pinecrest, I think it goes mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So if I'm shopping, mm-hmm. you know, I'm in Giant Eagle, mm-hmm. I'm in Big Lots, I'm wherever I'm at, Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. trying to catch that bus... When the tellers are slow or the line is slow, mm-hmm. if you miss it, you're stuck.
Yeah, you are. But the good thing about it is, you got your call. You got Juma. You got a coffee house right there to go to. You got Wendy's. Like you got options. You got places to go.
That's
you're not
true.
Stuck.
But to me, if I'm doing my grocery shopping, I'm sitting there with these bags. Yeah. And I'm mad.
And that's cool. And like that's.
And that's just me. That's my 5.
And that's a New York thing, actually. That's something people do in New York. Like that's just.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it's a pride thing. I think maybe it's like I don't want people to see me with these bags. How do I look with these?
I just don't
want
to be lugging them.
I
have to give me a little cart, and that's a whole other mindset. Am I that person that's you know lugging the groceries mm-hmm. with the cart? Mm-hmm. But and you're right because I'm thinking about like even if I stopped over at that Chagrin Plaza over there, mm-hmm. there's a bagel place.
Yeah.
but and my ADHD would kick in, okay, that I'd be over at Michael's. Like, I'd do my groceries. Okay. Oh, I missed the five. Mm-hmm. Let me go over to Michael's. I'd miss the five again. Because okay, now I'm shopping. Like, oh, look at this. Yeah. Look at this. I'd be looking at deals. And then yes, I'd be seeing a five. And I'd be mad again. Mm-hmm. So the five is...
The five could use a little bit of work.
And I actually met this man on the five. Mm-hmm. And he was... It was an older gentleman.
Okay.
And I caught, in the, it was one of those days where the 14 and the 5 didn't connect. Mm. So I took the 14 up, got to the 5, and I met this older gentleman. And he was, like, livid about the 5.
Okay.
Because he had an appointment, and I guess it wasn't timed right. And so now the next bus isn't for another hour. Mm-hmm. So he would get there about 1:14. His appointment mm-hmm. was at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And he was just, like, angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going on this rant about... There's so many businesses and so many people that need to get to these stores.
Mm-hmm.
You almost like, why aren't you running that five more
mm-hmm.
often?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one bus I would say, like, I hate the five because mm-hmm. it's just not consistent for me.
And this other thing that I noticed too, except like I said, when you have bags, this is an exercise that I do. I see a lot of other riders do. You're not stuck at that bus stop.
Right.
There's another walking. Bus stop.
Yep.
So start walking and start walking right. and looking back and walking, and because there's a next bus stop that's like not too far from that.
Right.
Next
right.
One.
And so it's always in eyesight.
Always in eyesight. Always. And so when you do that walk, you don't feel
like you're waiting.
Stuck.
Yep.
And so that's the exercise that I do.
So I did mm-hmm. When I was younger, back in my high school days. Mm-hmm. I would ride the RTA to get places that necessarily I didn't want to ask my parents to take me to.
Okay.
So maybe I wasn't supposed to be downtown at this day and time,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to go downtown at this day and time.
Okay.
So I would catch the blue line.
Okay.
Grew up on the blue line. Or I would catch the bus to, mm-hmm. like, that friend's house that, like, you don't necessarily need to know where I'm going.
Right. not you.
Yeah, no, nah, I'm not proud of it, but for the sake of this story, let's just accept that fact.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I was on the 40,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to get home. And I got to that point, like, I missed the 40, and mm-hmm. I started walking. Mm-hmm. And I was down past, like, South Miles.
Okay, well, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, over by the, what's that park? Cruise mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't too far from there. And I started walking, like, to the next stop, to the next stop, mm-hmm. to the next stop. Now, this is in the 90s, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, the 40 runs its own way, too. But it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was almost at Lee Harvard by the time that next bus came.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so, like, because I had to get home. Because mm-hmm. I was, like, my mom was expecting me at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And that bus hadn't came yet.
Yes.
But it just, so I know that trick to start walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually works. And the bus drivers are nice enough. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about next. Bus drivers.
Yes, yes. Well, I love the RTA bus drivers because they get cussed out every day. They deal with a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I love to really, really do is to ask them how they're doing. I never give them issues
right.
or any problems. I got a really good story for you.
Tell me.
So I got on the 5.
Okay.
It was New Year's Eve.
See, I'm cringing. Every time you say the 5, I'm the 5.
Yeah. And it was this, and what I noticed, what happens when the bus drivers get to the end of their route, sometimes they have like a break in between.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people that have been waiting are anxious to get on the bus. So a lot of times the bus drivers, you can sense that they just get irritated by that because they have like maybe say a 10-minute or 15-minute break.
Right.
They want to use the bathroom.
They have to close the bus up.
They close the bus up. They might want to grab a snack or, you know, on a wall, like Walgreens.
Check the phone, right.
You know, something. So I'm always very conscious about them and their well-being and saying, okay, I don't want to just kind of jump on this bus. Are they going to take a break or not? You know,
mm-hmm.
So I saw this. He was a Jamaican dude.
Okay.
I know he was Jamaican, yeah, but he had some dread. and he was... sitting, and I said, can I get on? Are you about to have a break or not? Because I know how y'all get. And he was like, what do you, are you a Christian? I said, well, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, why do you ask that? Because you're judging me. You're judging me right now. I said, I'm not judging you. He said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. He was getting real, real upset. I said, wait, okay. Relax. He said, I'm not, it's just that you think that you know. I said, well, no, what it is. And then I explained, just like I explained to you, I know that you all need a break. It's the end of your route. I wasn't sure if you wanted to go to the bathroom. If there was a time.
Try to be considerate.
I don't want to just kind of rush the bus. And so we got into a conversation about religion.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I was all on the back of the bus, and I told him, you know, I'm not a Christian, and I have a problem with that word and people that, you know, profess and say this is what I am. I just feel like if that's what you are, then let me see that.
Right.
As opposed to you telling me that.
Right.
And he said, action love. You believe in action love. Now, I didn't know what action love was, but I got a sense as to what that was.
Okay.
And he said, I want you to look up an artist, J.R. Blessington.
Okay.
Blessington. J.R. Blessington. I think that was his name. And I looked on Spotify. And he was J.R. Blessington. He was J.R. Blessington. And what was really interesting about that was here this RTA driver was. This was his, you know, his hustle.
Yeah.
And he was this artist.
Nice.
And so that was kind of interesting because you told me that you wanted to do this podcast. And you actually told me that actually, I don't know if it was that day or like maybe before that. And it was just interesting how you said you want to do this podcast and that happened. And he said, you are a very powerful man. When I got off of my stuff, he said, you are a very powerful man.
Nice.
He said, and happy new year to you. And the funny thing about that is after I got off of my New Year's Eve gig, I went downtown to the casino. And guess who my bus driver was on another route?
Him?
J.R. Blessington.
Nice.
So it was like a consistent. And these
I got to meet him. Yes. Like I'm just, now yes. I'm going to be looking out for yes. bus drivers. Like, are yeah. you J.R. Mm-hmm. Blessington?
And that's the other aspect of riding the bus and the train that I really love. And I took that from New York. It's just the people that
yes.
you see. I just study people. I love to study people. Being an actor, I'm just fascinated by people. So I think it's one of those things where people that are on the train and the bus, not the train so much, but the people that really don't drive or can't afford to drive at all, mm-hmm. in my mind, subconsciously becomes this spiritual person.
Yes.
It's like we're in this thing together.
Yes.
We're riding this bus together and everybody's in there on their own path, going into their own direction, wherever that's going to be.
Yep.
And we're sharing this time together. Yep. And we're not going to see each other again, or we might
right.
see each other again. There's certain people that I know that I see, I don't know their names.
Right.
But I see them.
Like we cross paths
yeah, yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I like, so the bus drivers, I would say, I think they're like the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
they remind me of the older generation. They just go to work. They're just
yes.
there to do their jobs.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. they, you know, like, I see them, like, you just come home after a long, hard mm-hmm. day, honest mm-hmm. living.
Yes.
And so I am always, good morning, how mm-hmm. are you? Like, mm-hmm. because you doing your thing.
Yes.
And I'm not ever fussy about it. And they're so courteous. I remember we were stopped yesterday. I'm on the train. And the lady said, and I'm like, why are we not rolling? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she came on. She said, just want you guys to know, here's why we're delayed. We're waiting. I apologize. You know? And I remember from being a kid, like, you didn't have that. It just was stops and nobody talked. But
mm-hmm.
now people are like,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure you have your belongings. And I think RTA does, like, a very good customer service training or
I
whatever.
Think they do too. Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
those drivers are polite.
Mm-hmm.
They joke with you in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the bus and I have my coffee and my egg sandwich. He
yeah.
goes, where's mine? I'm
yes.
like, I got you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, we just have
yeah.
this band. Enter.
Yes.
And I ran into a driver coming into Tower City, and I always ask, even though I usually know, like, which is train's coming or what train is that? Because when you go into the blue and green line,
mm-hmm.
when you come down, you can't see what light is on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, green is usually on the track, green is on, blue is
yes.
but sometimes they switch.
Sometimes they switch and they don't tell you.
Right.
And that's
so I always ask when I come through too. And that's
mm-hmm.
been a fear of mine from when
mm-hmm.
I was a little kid.
Yes.
Because just because it comes in blue
mm-hmm.
don't mean it's staying
don't
blue.
Mean it's gonna stay right.
or green or what have
mm-hmm.
you. And so, and then I always go like, what if you're colorblind? You can't see blues
mm-hmm.
and greens anyway.
Yeah.
So I always just ask them, like, which train is that?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, it's a green line. It's about to take off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, when's the blue line about to take off? And the guy was like, about 15 minutes. And so the other guy was like, that's your driver right there. And I'm like, oh, you know,
yeah.
I'm like,
yes.
and he could see his face like, I'm on a break. And
yes.
I'm like, no rush.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I got, you know, like, no, take your time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just was trying to find out what time the train coming. That's all.
Yeah.
And so just the idea that, you know, they are just, they just regular class working folks.
Yes.
And even at the supervisors,
mm-hmm.
when they're on the buses with them, like,
mm-hmm.
they joke too.
Because yeah.
I usually try not to speak like, oh, your boss on the
right,
here.
Right,
like,
right, right, right.
Hello, good morning. Here's
mm-hmm.
my fare card. I'll sit down
yeah.
so you can do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the supervisors will be like laughing and joking
mm-hmm.
and just, they just make the best of it.
Yes.
And that's like,
mm-hmm.
they get all the props to me.
Yes.
But one of the things I do want to talk about, which
mm-hmm.
you mentioned a minute ago,
yes.
was the community
mm-hmm.
of RTA.
Yeah.
So I will take the bus down in the morning. So when my kids started back in school this summer, the one will take the train.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a transfer. So I would ride with her to the first transfer and then transfer with her and then let her watch her get on the second transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was safe or fine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I would ride down, and she told me this before,
mm-hmm.
she was like, it's like a little village.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody seems to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ride that 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
green line,
yeah.
you ride that 7 a.m. green line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't realize that till I started riding with her, but they'd just be like, oh, hey, Jimmy. Oh,
mm-hmm.
didn't think you'd
yeah.
make it today.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they work the same company or not, but they just start, they're a little like,
mm-hmm.
we ride the train together. How
mm-hmm.
was your vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just got back, the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so cool that, and I wrote this in one of the pieces, that there is someone that's actually, you start your day with someone looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is Devon going to make the train today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
I sit next to Devon every
yeah.
day. He's a
yeah.
guy, like, we don't work in the same company, but he's on the 6:15 train
yes.
with me.
Yeah.
Is he going to make it? And then when you're not there and you come back, well, we were wondering what happened to you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how nice is that that some stranger basically cares.
Yes.
And that's what I just liked about that. And like you said, those morning train rides, and I love the feel of the morning train ride because it's we are all here right now to go conquer this day.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like the train atmosphere or the bus atmosphere changes as the day goes on.
It does. It does. It does.
You know? And so I will get up and come on the trains and buses early just for that, like, we're about to conquer the day. And if you get off that train in the morning, when you hit Tower City, it is like a speed walk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I've ridden down there just for coffee because, well, Tower City has Starbucks and Dunkin'. And if you time your app right, your food is ready when you get off the train.
Right.
But, and that's all I've come for. And I find myself walking fast, like, oh, we're going to Public Square. We're going to Public Square.
Yeah.
I don't have a reason to be out. I got the Public Square, like, why am I out here?
Yeah.
But because the crowd and the mass is just like,
get
this day started.
Yeah, it's an energy.
Yeah. We don't have time to play. Like, we going to be awesome.
Yes.
That's how I take it. Like, we about to go. It's going to be awesome today.
Totally.
Get at my desk, do my job, you know, and then head to the weekend.
Yeah.
And I love that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 9, 10 o'clock, if you catch that train later in the day, it's not the same. I mean, we're still trying to head to where we're trying to head to, but it's not the same.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
move a little slower. Some people catching the train. Some people going to appointments. It's a different feel.
The kids do stress me out a little bit, but I understand what that's like to get out of school and to be that young. And to be that, like,
the end of the day,
you know, so that, you know, and that's the only, that's when I, it's some about them. That, and I love the kids, but sometimes...
So that bus driver, those bus drivers, at the end of the day, like, my hat's off to them because they are school bus drivers. And there are kids just like, you know, I'm like, you're going to turn this bus around. Like, I'm saying those things, like, having flashbacks of my time in school buses. Like, you about to put off this bus. And you know, and you've got adults on the bus and you've got this gang of kids. So I happened on this bus one day, about 3 o'clock, and I'm like, I finished my work early. I'm going home early. Why stay till 5? I walk out there at 3 o'clock, and I hit this bus that was 2 stops after John Marshall High School. Oh, my goodness. That thing was full of kids. And, like, the first week back, and and it was just so loud, and they cussing, and they being kids, and, you know, like,
and
I get that.
School. You've been sitting in school all day.
And I get that.
Yeah, I get that, too.
And then other kids are coming off from other charter schools as we go down Lorraine. And I'm just like, never again. But the bus driver, like, my hat's off to him. You know, the senior citizens, and he'd be like, you know, hey, y'all got to move so this lady can get on before you even open the door. Y'all right there, get up so this lady can get and sit in that seat, you know, the handicap or older people seats. And, like, I'm like, kudos. And the kids were mindful. But, like, that's a bus I'm like, I'll avoid. And even this Healthline. About 3 o'clock, it's full of kids. And I know that. So some days I let that go. And I'll catch the bus at 4 or the train because they are. But in the mornings, there's a moment where all the kids seem to descend on Public Square. About late 7:30, 8 o'clock. And they're about business. Like, that's a proud moment to watch. And I've actually sat in Public Square with my coffee, you know, because I followed the crowd out. And watched how they navigate. And that is amazing to watch. Because, you know, there's so many people that are like helicopter parents. And my kid not going to walk. I'm going to drop my kid door to door. And these kids come in on the train, you know, and they're still morning, so they're not awake yet. But they got their headphones in. And they are just doing the thing. I mean, they're navigating the transit.
Okay.
So they're getting off at the Tower City. They're getting off the one bus. Some kids are going over to, like, the 51 for the West Side buses. You got kids waiting on the one for, like, up St. Clair. And there's no... Like, you go there, there's no hazing. Like, we just, they just on their way to school. And it's a time, it's real interesting to watch because all the business people are usually where they are by this point. And it's just kids. But there is no drama. Where, you know, at the end of the day, like, you put some Shaw kids with some Cleveland Heights kids or some, or the wrong school and we got to be. I saw you on Instagram. But in the morning, it's just headphones in and like, they're charging. And I mean, I even bought this young man breakfast once at the West Side Market.
Because
he was there and he was like digging in his pockets and he's like, how much is the sandwich? And he was, you know, a young African-American boy and he just, you could tell he was about, like, I'm just trying to get to school. Do I have time for the... And I'm like, go ahead. You waiting on the bus to go to school? Like, I'm just riding around taking pictures and doing other stuff. But And I bought him breakfast because he didn't have, like, the dollars because they only took cash. And who cares cash these days? But I bought him breakfast because it was just so nice to see all these kids. And even when they get together, like, oh, hey, Devon, we not loud. Yeah. You know, you get your homework done. Mm-hmm. Some of them reading on the bus. Mm-hmm. And that's just a great moment to see to me.
Beautiful.
It is, you know. And now the afternoon, like I said, it's a little bit of a zoo.
Yeah.
But, and I love it anyway. I mean, because everybody's just trying to do what they, ain't nobody doing no dumb stuff.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
On the RTA.
Mm-mm.
Period.
Not at all.
So talk to me about the conversation, which I see a lot in Cleveland media, mm-hmm. that the RTA needs to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like, mm-hmm. how dare the RTA? The RTA mm-hmm. is so underfunded. The RTA needs all these things to be functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of flack about what the RTA does. I'm okay with the RTA.
Me too. And I think that that's in every city you go to. I think anybody that rides public transportation is going to have this issue about it being perfect.
Right.
So if you want perfection, I'm just going to be real. Get you a car so you can leave when you want to leave, so you can be on your own watch, your own. But you're sort of like, well, for them, like a slave to that. I just think that even New York, I mean, that's just the one city where people are frustrated about, you know, the subway and this, and they've got issues. So they got issues.
Right.
So, I mean, come on now. And that's New York City.
Right. And so. I just think, and I know we talked about this before, mm-hmm. I think, number one, we're lucky to have RTA.
Me too.
So when I went away to college,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have a bus system. So if you wanted to go to Walmart,
mm-hmm.
it was like a 4-mile walk.
Okay.
If you're lucky, or you had to find a friend that had a car that could take you to Walmart. And so it was really just, and this was before Uber or Lyft. So you just had to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up with RTA, like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now it has a little bus system and it connects to actually RTA. So, and that's what I like is that we are in a space that we are blessed to have a public transit.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like one car, one bus.
No.
I mean, we've got a network.
Yes.
And it keeps expanding. So there's a Cleveland State line now, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
There is the health line that runs like almost like another transit train.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Metro health line, which I haven't ridden, but you know, we keep expanding and growing.
And all the work they're doing, like on the train, not to cut you off, on the blue line, like 30th.
Yes.
All of that.
That's nice.
Then they're doing 116th now.
Yep.
They're doing that.
Yep.
So like, Cleveland's up and coming, and I think that they're doing that because of the city and because the Republican Convention that was here, when we won the championship. I think that the gay games were here, which is all these, and then all these films that are filmed here at our location. So like, they know that this city is growing.
Right.
So they actually are doing that.
Even being underfunded.
Yes. Yeah.
Period. Being underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ridden the Red Line?
I have, yes.
Do you think the Red Line runs better or worse than the buses? There's some times where I'm like, I would rather take the bus in than take the Red Line.
Sometimes,
or vice versa.
I don't know. It's weird. For the most part, the Red Line is consistent for me. Every now and then when I'm downtown, when I do take the Red Line, it does feel a little bit longer. But again, that's why I put, like I said, my headphones on and my podcast on. And that's when I just kind of go into my own world.
Right.
But it's pretty much the same. I think it's a little bit more urban.
Mm-hmm.
On the Red.
It's more diverse.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
That's an interesting train, though, because when you come in, it's urban.
Mm-hmm.
When it leaves out, it's different.
It's different, yeah. Because the further out you go.
On both ends.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the more west you get, the more white it is.
And Hispanic, right.
And Hispanic, yeah. And then, like, to the east side, you go to Windermere.
Yeah.
You know, it's more black.
It's very interesting train. It's a very interesting transition to watch.
Yeah.
If you sit in Tower City. So I like to be in the Tower City station to watch the people come in, because that is truly like metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday there was this moment, to me it was a moment of zen, I don't know why I enjoyed that moment, where the blue line came in and you know, everybody, and it was one of those, it stops there, not it wasn't going down the flats or whatever, it stopped, so everybody got off. So you had all these people coming off this train at rush hour. But about the same time, the Red Line came in.
Okay.
And so there's a moment where you're going up the escalator, I turn around, and you know, you usually have a crowd because you're in the crowd, you want to get in front. But when you turn around, it's crowds coming in from both. And that was just the idea. It was just like, look at all these people that just came into the city.
Yes.
From wherever. So maybe you're coming in from Lakewood, maybe you're coming in from Shaker Heights, Beachwood. But look at all these people that just came in mm-hmm. into this one space in the city, mm-hmm. and it was truly like the melting pot. You know, the coming in from the red line were mm-hmm. black, you know, white and Hispanic. Coming in from the blue were mainly black and, mm-hmm. and white, and just they all hit this one point at the same time, mm-hmm. and it was just like mm-hmm. wow.
I would feel that zen too.
It was just like mm-hmm. look at this, and you know, oh excuse me, I'm sorry, and courteous, mm-hmm. and because everybody again, yeah. I'm trying to grab my Starbucks order or mm-hmm. my this order or whatever, mm-hmm. and it was just like. Yesterday was like the perfect day. Mm-hmm. And then they get out of Tower City quickly in the morning.
Yeah.
Like there ain't no loitering, ain't nobody. No. Mm-hmm. You could hear the music playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
and that was like, it's real cool to watch. But I think I'm more of a fan of the West Side buses
mm.
and the East Side trains.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
I see what you mean because that 22, like I said, that
22, I love that 22.
Like I'm taking the 22 today. Like when yeah. I leave, I'm going to the 22.
Yeah. So I love the 22.
That's a nice ride.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so once I really started working at 22, mm-hmm. I stopped because there's a little lunch spot
yeah.
in the West Side Market.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I hop off the 22.
Yes.
I grab my breakfast sandwich. Yes. I hop back on the 22.
Yes.
And I keep on going. Mm-hmm. I like the 22.
Yes.
I like the 26.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but coming in from the red line
yeah.
on, and you can see where if you're on the 22, you can see where the station is running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
right.
there's a stop at West 25th.
Right.
There's a station at West
25th. There is, yes.
67th, like the Gordon Square area, mm-hmm. you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like necessarily where the red line lets you off.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just, because you're not in the city.
Yes.
You get off the bus, you know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blue and green line, when you get off the bus, like, or the trains, you come up into kind of a city.
Yes.
It seems like the red line, when you jump off the red line, you're kind of like, you have to walk to wherever you're headed.
That's true. That is true.
And I think, I'll tell you my story, and mm-hmm. this is where I harbor this from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My first time on the red line, I was going toward, like, Gordon Square, mm-hmm. so the 60s, whatever that stop,
okay.
65th. And when you come up, number one, it was something happened when I got on the train that the lady was getting off the second car, going to the first car to report some kids in the second car.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, fair enough, get on the first car, avoid mm-hmm. the kids. So we're riding. It was my first time probably ever on the red line because
mm-hmm.
I'm an East Sider
mm-hmm.
and I've never ridden to the airport like I drive to the airport.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, okay. And so it's not as many stops. Like the blue line seems, the blue and green seem to have stops like every few feet. The
mm-hmm.
red line, they're a little more spaced
they
out.
Are.
But I get off and I wasn't sure where I was going. But when I came up the steps, I was like standing at this corner and there was like nothing out there. Like, there was a train station, which there was no one, you know, I was the only one off the train station. And then it was like this intersection that every once in a while a car came through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where am I? And then I started getting worried, like, I'm out here all alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if this car stops and like, there's no one here.
Yeah.
And so at that point, then of course, and I could see Lorraine or Detroit
mm-hmm.
in the buses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And where it took me, like, I'm walking through this, like, alley street
mm-hmm.
to get to the place I was headed. And I'm like, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was, so, and where I was going, it was almost sundown, sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So it was going to be evening when I left. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm definitely
mm-hmm.
not walking back through here and
okay.
standing in this abandoned train station
okay.
by myself where, you know, like I said, the bus, you got cars, you got traffic, you got people. So that's my only complaint about the red line
okay.
being trying to be like, you know, safe female out in public is something to consider. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
Even the West Park station, it just seems like it's out, you know, it's off in the cut.
Mm-hmm.
The buses pull in and you pull off.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's my red line.
No, it makes sense.
Box.
It makes complete sense.
So I'm a bus.
No.
I'll take the 22, 26.
Yes.
Bus
yes.
all day.
Yes.
And people watch.
Yes. Oh, that's the best part about it.
Yeah.
That's the best part about it.
And that's, like I said, that warrants, because you see Cleveland.
You do. You do.
On one bus ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kids, grandmas, moms,
yes, yes.
older folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, black, white, whatever. So I do like that about the RTA.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
So you are a lover of Cleveland. We're going to kind of segue away.
Okay.
So when you're talking about you love Cleveland.
Love
what
Cleveland.
Do you love about Cleveland?
What I love about Cleveland is even though it's up and coming, it is a major city. But it's small enough to not be too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come to Cleveland and get you a theater experience.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite bar is Ontario Street Lounge, which is across the street from the casino.
Okay.
It's funny, I work a lot of events, a lot of catering events, and so General Electric, which is up on Noble, is
mm-hmm.
one of the places that I work at. And it's called the Institute.
Okay.
And they have a lot of people from out of town, and it's really nice. It's this really posh building. It's like a college. almost. Yes. And so people come from out of town, they take these classes. And so this guy was like, where can I go? We're staying downtown to get a drink. And I was like, well, I love this place called the Ontario Street Lounge. It's kind of hood. You know, it's a dive bar. You know, because these were like, you know, upscale white people.
Right.
So I was like, okay, you know, this is what I like. I'm just letting you know, that's where I go. The drinks are cheap. It's a great, you know, great vibe. Didn't really think that, you know, that he would be there. Later on that night, I had another event at the Union Club. After I left the Union Club, went to Ontario, turned around, and like six of the people that I served earlier that day.
Oh, nice.
At General Electric, we're sitting in this dive bar in Terra Street Lounge.
Nice.
Having a drink. And they're like, hey. And I was like, do you guys like it? Is this cool? They're like, this is perfect.
I've never been there.
You got to go. Because
I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, it's been around for years. And you can walk past. You know where Fat Fish Blue used to be?
Yes.
Or it's where Tilt and Kill is now.
Yes.
So it's right next to that. You can walk by it and almost miss it. But it's like another world within itself. It's the one place where whether you're heterosexual, gay, straight, bi, transgender,
none of that matters.
None of it matters. Everybody comes into this bar and it's like a love fest. It's like Cheers.
Aww.
It's like Cheers. Nice. So it's that type of energy in it.
Nice.
So, and you see all types of people, all types from all walks of life, just the people, like I said, mostly bus riders,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
So they're waiting.
Yeah, and waiting and love the bus and love the RT like we do. So they got their schedule down. They know they can get my shot and my beer.
And they get their drinks probably fast because they're bus riders.
Yeah, no, because they're bus riders. So that's like kind of that's one of those things. So, you know, that's the main thing. And then Caramel, just the Caramel House, just... It's just, Caramel is the oldest black theater in the world.
Yes.
And so a lot of people that, and it saddens me, there are people that actually, black people that actually live in Cleveland and have never been to Caramel or never heard of Caramel or never been there before. So just the richness of just the history of just black artists
right.
that have come out of Cleveland and that are still in Cleveland now that are performing and that mm-hmm. ride the RTA and are on their hustle.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just so much about, and just, us winning the championship and just sports, and I just love the fact that the Cleveland Browns fans, how loyal they are.
Yes.
We are the most loyal fans ever, and I believe that.
I think that of all Cleveland fans.
Yes.
Like, if you are, you know, you bleed Cleveland.
Yes.
No matter where you go.
I bleed Cleveland, yes.
And even with the championship, it showed me that people that had moved away,
mm-hmm.
you know, I live in California, I left Cleveland 20 years ago, but as soon as that championship, like, I got to get back.
Yes.
Like, I have to be part of that moment because you know, it's hard being a Cleveland sports fan.
You know,
because
people, you know, everybody's always laughing at you and talking about you.
And I mean, and even though we have successes, like, you know, let's take out the championship. Mm-hmm. We've still not had a championship.
No.
Yes. We had that one.
Yeah, we had that one.
And we will hold on to that.
Yes,
and the city came alive.
Yes,
and
it did.
If you didn't fall in love with the city, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't care if you didn't do sports or not.
Yeah.
The city was amazing.
Yeah, and I think, not to cut you off, I think the Browns...
Mm-hmm.
And I just am just being the spiritual person that I am. I just think that faith is such a very powerful energy. And I just think that the fans from Cleveland have such a love and a passion for Cleveland.
Yes.
That eventually I believe the Browns are going to take it. Eventually.
I think they all are.
And I think it's going to blow everybody's mind because we can't have that much faith.
Right.
For that not to happen.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
So I agree.
Like, and it might be in 10 years. It might be in 20.
I don't think it's going to be that far. I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
Just like the... The Cavs, like, we had a few missteps, and all of a sudden it happened.
Yes.
And once you feel that energy, like, I think that it injected an energy that, like, it re-injected that energy of how great Cleveland is.
Yes.
And that we can do this. So before we were like, yeah, we're Cleveland fans. Yeah, we hear your jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But once we had that, it was like, oh, this is a taste of championship.
Mm-hmm.
We like this thing.
Yes.
We're going to keep doing this thing.
Yes.
And the Indians, especially because the Indians were right behind us.
God,
and I always say it took the heavens to open up that year and rain out for us to not get it.
Yes.
Like, I was like, okay, like, it wasn't meant to be. I mean,
and I was actually working at a bar called Brickstone that's across the street from the stadium.
Yep.
And you saw when the Cubs win.
Yes.
Okay. And it's funny because there were more Cubs fans that were in the bar that I was working at than there were Cleveland Indians fans. And there was this older woman, she was like maybe in her 70s or 80s, and she was a Cubs fan. And she was so sweet. This woman, this white woman, she just has such a pure spirit about her. And she was like, oh, honey, I just hope that we win. I just been wanting, you know, waiting for us to win. I just came all this way, and I was really... And when they won, there was something very humbling about it. Even though I wanted us to win, there was something humbling because I was still working. You're still working. But there was one dude I worked with. He was a waiter too. He was so pissed off that he didn't want to finish his shift. He was so mad. I've never understood that. That's the only thing about sports I don't understand. I get you're passionate. But when they won, I ran up to that woman and hugged her. And it was something.
You're probably crying.
Say what?
Was she crying?
She was crying. She was crying, yeah. And it was just like, just to see her and just been talking to her just for that whole week that they had been there. Mm-hmm. And it was something humbling about telling these people who had a curse, mm-hmm. quote unquote, like a curse, whatever.
Yeah, we weren't cursed. We just can't win.
Yeah. And there, you know, theirs was broken. And so there was something humbling about going up to these people and saying, great job.
Yeah.
Great
job. And I think, again, to Cleveland citizens and people, mm-hmm. that was the mood for everyone. Like, we were hurt that we lost.
Yeah.
But it was like, enjoy that moment, Chicago. Because we had just had it.
Because we understood.
And we knew, we just had that from the Cavs. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we knew how great that felt. And it was just kind of like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and like I said, once that rain delay came, because we were coming back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. the skies have opened up so that we didn't win that game. Yeah. Like, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
And it is humbling. And mm-hmm. it is, you know, just amazing to watch just Cleveland. Yeah. And what you said, like, it's an up-and-coming city. But we've been an up-and-coming city. And that's the beauty of it, though. Yes. We're not the it city. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that off-the-radar, like, we got a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. Even just not even Caramu, and I love Caramu. Mm-hmm. But just the idea that Playhouse Square is the second biggest theater district in the country.
In the country, yes.
And people like Tom Hanksen, you know, like Bob
Tom
Hope and all those.
Tom just pop up.
Yes.
People just pop up. It's so funny. He was at this theater on the west side. It was a new theater. I forgot what it's called. And he just had popped up in his jeans and his feet. And by the way, he's about to play Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
I was like, oh my God.
I can't wait.
That's going to be amazing. But like, he will pop up. Stedman popped up. Now to get back to Caramu. Stedman popped up to Caramu.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Didn't even say he was coming. He's done that twice.
And there's a lot of folks that just, like, Cleveland's their hideaway.
Yeah.
And I like that, and I hope that stays. Like, I don't want people to be like, we're going to all come to... No, don't all come to Cleveland.
No.
Because we have... I always say Cleveland's a big, small town.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the feel of a Chicago. Like,
yes, we do.
But we don't move as fast.
Yes.
Which is what I like.
Well, I like that.
Like, because I went to Chicago, and I'm like, the first time I ever went to Chicago, before I went to New York, I'm like, this city's moving too fast, and all this is happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was getting overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I gotta get back to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the transit. We have the sports teams. Mm-hmm. We have all these things that technically people would think we shouldn't have because we're just Cleveland.
Yes.
But we have all these gold nuggets.
Oh, my God.
And then it's affordable. And so, like, Clevelanders kind of keep it a secret. Like, yeah, we Cleveland. And we, you know, and then we have our hole-in-the-wall bars that are real classy that you may not know are classy.
Right. Yes.
But we're not going to tell you
Let's talk about the rib joints. Let's talk about Hot Sauce Williams. Let's talk about Whitmore's.
Mm-hmm.
We talk, it's so funny because I go to play, like, New York. I thought I could find a rib spot. They don't have any rib spots in New York. They don't have no dive rib spots like that.
Right, right.
You know, and so there's something about even that, even just the food that we have. Nobody knows what a Polish boy is. I thought a Polish boy was something that everybody knew, you know, what that was.
And then even as people teach them, you still won't have a Cleveland, like, I know Michael Simon does the Polish boy. He's introduced America to Polish boys.
Right.
But until you have, but because he knows the Whitmore's Hot Sauce Williams Polish boy, he can recreate.
Yes.
But, you know, until you come into the greasiness
the
of.
The greasiness.
And your burger is, I mean, your buns are just soggy and all that. Like,
and the foil.
Yes.
And the styrofoam.
And the steam that comes off. Yeah. All of that.
Yes.
Like, you don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. And so I like that as much as Clevelanders are long timers, we're lifers here, it doesn't have that, like, overwhelming, we're bogged down mentality.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I've been to a lot of places. I mean, we could all do a whole other podcast on Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've been to some places because we were going to launch some different spaces like Black Girl in Blank.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to this one city and I'm like, holy crap, I thought you were the it city, you know? And they're like, no. You know, and they cowered to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Columbus and they were like, I've never been to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are we whispering?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
It's okay. It's 2 hours. Like, we come down here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lady said, I've never been to Cleveland, but I've been to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, first of all, those two have nothing to do with anything.
They really don't.
But there's a fear because Cleveland seems like such a metropolis
mm-hmm.
to some people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was out in Alliance for school, people, I would be like, we're going to Cleveland to see this concert. I want to take, you know, my mentee or my little sister. Oh, Cleveland? Oh, like I was saying, I'm taking you to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny that a lot of our surrounding rural towns kind of see Cleveland as this like hub, like, oh, you know, noise and buses and transits and this and robbers and good, bad, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But It is it's a micro, small, micro, big city.
It is, yeah. And they got a lot of up-and-coming places. The Euclid, they're building up East Cleveland Euclid, mm-hmm. Around where the Windermere Station mm-hmm. is. Joe Little from the Rude Boys.
Yes.
That's all written all over your face. He has a new spot.
The coffee place.
Yes.
Urban Beans,
yes. There's that. There's a cigar place that's actually down the street from there. His name is Antoine, I think his name is. I went in there. And it's a cigar place and a wine bar.
Nice.
And actually, they do their own wine.
Yes. I know. Yep.
So they're just building up, you know, and not to switch gears, but the Republican convention that was here, I actually worked that, and I was nervous about that because, you know, everything that I thought that it was going to be,
right.
I thought it was going to be this racist energy, and when I tell you I'd never been so proud of my city because the way that they had everything locked down, all the different guards from all the different cities,
yeah.
how they all worked together,
yeah.
I felt protected,
yes.
and everybody that came here from out of town were like, we cannot wait to go back to our city and tell them that you guys rolled out the red carpet. We had no clue that we were going to have the experience that we had.
Yes.
So to hear that
yes.
and to be a part of that, which just kind of blew my mind. This is Cleveland.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, you made me think of this story I had forgotten. It's a bus story.
Yeah.
And so I was riding the 22 mm-hmm. and I was going to get my, and I would sometimes, if I didn't have to work, mm-hmm. just come down for this breakfast sandwich at the West Side Market.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off the train, I think I grabbed my coffee, then got on the bus to get the sandwich because, mm-hmm. you know, you got to have the whole breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting, and it's about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and mm-hmm. there was this older black lady there. And she's like, excuse me, is the West Side Market open? And I'm like, I guess. Like, you know, mm-hmm. A Clevelander knows these things.
Yes.
Like, sure, I don't know, you know, just mm-hmm. Google, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, I'm not from here.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm from San Diego. I'm here for some kind of reunion mm-hmm. or family thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up early this morning because I wanted to see the sights
mm-hmm.
because basically it's not built in my schedule. So I got up really early. I want to see the sights of Cleveland. And I asked the hotel,
mm-hmm.
what things should I see in Cleveland? And they told me the West Side Market, Mitchell's, and basically sent her to West 25th.
Okay.
So first of all, I was offended. Like,
okay.
Oh, that's it?
That's right.
You know Cleveland. And then it was just one of those like, huh, what mm-hmm. a coincidence you meet me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do is showcase. So I'm like, yeah. Here's where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were talking, she pulls out her little pencil. Like, she's older, like, so she had an actual wood pencil on her paper. And she's jotting down. I said, and I was telling her by the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you take this bus back and change, you know, go see the chandelier. They didn't even mention the chandelier.
Mm-hmm.
They told her Old Stone Church was the third place.
Okay.
So Mitchell's, West Side Market, Old Stone Church. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the chandelier, the world's largest chandelier. I mean, who has an outdoor chandelier?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have that. And so I was telling her all these things, and she's writing, and we just got to talking.
Yes.
And so she ended up buying me breakfast, and we had breakfast outside mm-hmm. at that little sitting area.
Okay.
Right across the street from the West Side Market.
Yes.
And we were just chatting. She said, I really like Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never been here. She said, but it's a nice city. And it was a nice summer day. She
mm-hmm.
said, the weather's kind of like San Diego. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, not always, but
yeah.
like, you just happen to catch us this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she just was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and the price is good. Because, you know, you can live in California. There's no such thing as a dollar menu in California.
No,
it's like a $5 menu.
Right.
and, you know, those kind of things. And so we just talk, and you don't realize how nice Cleveland is until you run into that person and they're like, oh, wow,
mm-hmm.
this is only $2?
Yeah,
like, it's $2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not hurting for $2 either, but, like,
mm-hmm.
don't raise your prices because
mm-hmm.
we like the $2.
Yes, we do.
But just the idea that people are always impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we were like, oh, my goodness, this is coming. Let's all be nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's just who Clevelanders are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're authentic. And,
yes.
And so, like, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming this year.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
And this is the 50th year that the river caught on fire the last time.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of celebrations in 2019.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I think the one thing that the police necessarily don't have to worry about, or the people that keep us safe, is that we're going to act foolish.
Yes.
I mean, we have foolish people.
Yeah.
But as a whole, like the parade, I wasn't worried about
mm-hmm.
Cleveland coming down
mm-hmm.
for that CASP parade.
Yeah.
I was worried about all the folks flying in that was like, don't tear up our city.
Yeah.
You know?
That was an amazing day, too.
It was an amazing day.
Yeah.
Were you at the parade?
I actually came after the parade.
Okay.
And I just remember I was with Z, one of my work aunties. I adopted a lot of people.
Okay.
And she was a Golden State fan, was funny, because she was like, Golden State. She was saying that to me. I said, you can't do that.
Now. Right.
But she, we just bonded on that day, and we just bonded with all these strangers that we didn't
yes.
know. And we would have like 10 minutes with that person, and we'd be drinking with them and laughing with them as if we knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would leave them and meet somebody else.
Yes.
And just all these, you know, strangers that I met that felt like family.
I think that was an amazing day.
Yeah.
And it just got to show. It got Clevelanders a chance to show off because I believe that every Clevelander got that phone call. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to fly in for the parade.
Yeah.
Can I stay with you? Yeah. How do I get here? So I had people like, can I come to town and we ride to the parade together? Because they just assumed I was going. Mm-hmm. And I don't like crowds, so I might not have gone. I'm going to come into town so we can go to the parade together.
Yeah.
I'm going to the parade? Okay. But even as that happened, you know, like family started calling family, where you going to be at? Like it was like the whole city just all kind of migrated together. Mm-hmm. And the talk was about the folks flying in. Because we knew like what we were going to do. We just wanted to love on our team.
Yes.
You know, it was like, why are you coming in from California, though? Like, what you doing over there? Like, don't come in, don't go with State Guard. You know, you stay over there. And just the idea of, like, I was getting calls that day because people came on the transit.
Okay.
And so, remember, RTA was the way to get down there because you was going to pay $75 and $80 for parking. And the transit was packed. And I remember the RTA, like, they couldn't handle that. And so people are mad about that. But there's no way RTA was ever built for that. And they did the best they could. But what happened was, you had to know the transit to get around. And so I had friends that were waiting at the top of the blue and green line.
That story after you could finish.
And, you know, the train would come up full because people figured out if I get on and come back up.
Yes.
But what I found out was I just drove to Shaker Square.
Okay.
And my friend called me. She said, there's buses. All the buses that hit Shaker Square go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
There's one stop by Zanzibar. Mm-hmm. Park and hop that. So I hopped the 11. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where the 11 goes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where the 11 ended. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was going to take me downtown. And that bus was packed, but it wasn't as packed as them trains.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got down. But again, as much as we were smashed in those trains and smashed in those buses, no one seemed to be concerned.
Mm-mm.
It was just like, you're going to see our team.
Yeah, that's funny you said that. Z, like I said, my work auntie that I was talking about earlier, she was trying to get me to go to the parade and actually was not going to go for some reason. I just didn't want to go. I just didn't want to be bothered. It was like, I don't know. It was going to be a lot of people and I just wasn't going to go.
Right.
So she come finally convinced me to go. We got a couple beers. We got some ice. And we got to the top of Van Aken. And they said it was going to be a 2-hour wait. So there was a long, long, long line of people waiting.
Right.
So I was like, well, what do you want to do? You know, I didn't mind waiting, but I was like, do you really want to do that?
2 hours, right.
So I said, oh, we could take the 14. The 14 goes downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think about that, right? So the 14 pulled right up, like within five
parallel.
But this was funny about the 14. So the 14 is supposed to stop at each stop. We got on the 14.
Well, so it was packed to go.
This 14 actually was not packed. It had just a regular amount of people on there. And do you know this 14 went from Van Aken straight downtown,
like a shuttle,
without stopping at any other stops? And people were just, and I felt for them, but it was like,
deuces.
I don't want to say that. But I just felt like the heavens opened up.
Yes.
And it was just an amazing thing. It's like, what are the chances that the 14 would just go straight from Van Aken all the way downtown straight to the parade with no stops? And people just jump in and wave in. But it was just like, that was me and Z's like moment.
Little,
that was
limo.
Our bus. That was our limousine. And that was just an amazing experience to have that. That us ushered in just like that.
Yeah. And there's a few of those stories. Like, I have a cousin. He he grew up in Cleveland. He had just gotten a job, his first job out of college at Delta. So he was in Atlanta.
Okay.
Well, there's a perk for working with Delta.
Okay.
That he hopped that plane that morning.
Okay.
Took the red line right into Tower City.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And ended up right there just in time. You know, it was a long parade, so you could miss some of it.
Yeah.
He ended up just there before, like, the good part happened at the as they were coming around Jacobs Field. And it was all like Delta to RTA. Because who's coming off from the airport? I mean, you know, and you had to know. And so like knowing those nuances of getting around Cleveland, back to the RTA thing, like you knew that the 14 ran the same way.
Yes.
Like I know that there are stops along Shaker Square that, you know, and there are parallel buses.
Yes.
Like we talked about the Red Line 22. And so just the idea that we know our city. We sometimes don't act like we know our city. But, you know, as things go on, we take care of each other.
Yes.
We know our citizens.
Yes.
And so, like, there's some foolishness that happens.
Yeah.
And there's room for improvement. It's all cities. But this is, you know, and I was one of those people that I was going to move away. Like, I hate Cleveland. I want to move away and live in New York.
Really?
I mean, at one point, I'm going to move to Atlanta. I'm going to move to Charlotte. I'm going to move to... I ain't going nowhere. Like, Cleveland is home.
Yeah. And, like, when you go to those cities, like I said, New York is, like I said, my second home. I'm always excited whenever I come home.
Yeah.
And, like, another actress, sister of mine, Crystal Christian, she is in New York right now. She comes home maybe once every couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's her thing. She loves Cleveland that much where she comes home at that
home. Because you can just be.
Yeah, you can just be.
And recharge.
Yes.
And if you want world class entertainment, we've got that.
We got that.
With museums and orchestras
and all
theater.
The free shit they got going on.
And free stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I get mad personally, and that's kind of how Black Girl and CLE started, because how dare you say there's nothing to do here in Cleveland?
Oh, so much.
There's always something.
Always.
The question is, are you going to really try it? Mm-hmm. And are you going to step out of your comfort zone and say, let's see what this thing is? Or leave your friends. Because if you don't like theater and I do, you're not going to go with me. Then we don't go. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
But there's always something to do here. And that's one of the things I do love about the city. And like I said, you can get around anywhere. And so I use this city because my daughter wants to go off to Broadway and, you know, be great and do great things.
Okay.
I'm like, if you can't handle RTA, you're not ready for a New York subway or a Chicago subway.
Yeah.
So learn the buses, learn the trains, you know, because that at least prepared you, I mean, as opposed to coming from some rural place that doesn't have transit, like that could be overwhelming.
Yes.
And so like, what a great place to learn here.
Absolutely.
You know, with that structure.
Absolutely.
So I enjoyed you being
on the show.
And like, I want you to come back and we can just keep talking Cleveland and fun stuff and news and, and I thank you so much for, just saying yes when I asked.
Thank you. Oh, no, it was an honor. I said, you want me on your podcast?
Because like I said, when I see you on the bus, I'm like, you ride the bus and I ride the bus.
Yes.
And we always chat. I said, last time I think I saw you were eating chicken.
Yes, always.
It's coming from Dave's.
Yeah, see, this is what I do. I'll jump off the train, okay, and I'll go into Dave's and I'll get me a couple wings.
Yes. I get catfish.
Okay, yeah, and catfish is good,
too. I get fish.
And I plan in such a way, get me a couple things that I might need because I know the next 15 minutes or half an hour, the next one's going to come. So I plan it.
And you know what they do?
Yeah.
They'll rush you. They'll be like, are you waiting for that train?
Yeah.
Like, they'll ask you that sometimes.
Yeah,
like, you trying to catch the bus? I'll be like, you know, don't pack my bags too heavy. I'm on the bus. Put her.
Yes.
And she'll be like, oh, well, her. And they move fast because they know you done got off that train.
Yes.
And that Dave's Shaker Square stop, which they're redoing, so I hope they kind of keep it the same because I love the way it is, but they want to revitalize it.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you take blue or green. So whatever train is downtown, you just grab it. And then if I got to wait or I got to transfer, well, at least I can go to Dave's and get something to eat.
Get something to eat.
Come on back.
Come on back.
Keep on riding.
Yeah, go to Dewey's, go to CVS.
I love that. And I actually read a thing on, I shared the book with you. I read some books on how the system was created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really great story.
Wow.
About this, you know, the Van Swearingen started the transit.
I did not know that.
The ones that founded Shaker.
What is it? What are their names again?
The Van Swearingen family.
I should know this.
You know your Shaker history?
I should know Shaker history.
Okay. So they started it, and it's a whole story about how they did and why the 55th Street is so important.
Wow.
But I'll tell you that offline. Okay. So anyway, thank you
for being on my show.
We will have you back definitely another time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Girl INCLE. Talk to you next time.